Happy transfer portal eve. Let's have some fun.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast live. And I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five. And we're ready to have some fun. We got my man, Daryl Daprich. We got Taylor Korn ready to celebrate. It feels, it's, you know, you get excited for Christmas Eve. It's transfer portal Eve. And Auburn had a big one announced, plans to go into the portal this evening, right before, not long before we jumped on. And we're going to dive into that as well. But before we get started, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a 300% deposit bonus in the casino. Give them $100. They're going to give you $300 back, free to play with. Go win big. Take it to the sports book. Bet any line you can imagine, any way you can imagine. Easy deposits, easy withdrawals. It's mybookie.ag. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Portal Eve. It is Portal Eve, and it's about to explode. I think tomorrow is going to be electric. It's going to be fast and furious, a lot of fun, and we're going to talk about that tonight. Hank Brown decided to enter the portal. There were reports last week that he planned to enter the portal. He came out, said he did not plan to enter the portal, and it turns out he's going to enter the portal. So the first things I was going to ask, and maybe this changes your answer a little bit, but overall, there's five or six players, I guess, that have gone, that have announced they're going in, Hank being one. How do you think, Dap, I'll start with you. How do you think Auburn has fared so far? How do you feel so far? Is any of them unexpected? Any of those that you hate to see, or I guess anything for Auburn to worry about, I guess, based off the first little group of guys that have declared they're going to go into the portal?
Probably not. The biggest reason why is because it's not unexpected. So when you start getting surprises in the portal and people jump that you didn't expect to jump, look, let's just be honest. We heard 8 to 10 names that were likely to jump in. People, you know, around the program, there's buzz. You can connect the dots. And Hank Brown was one that we heard early on. Holden Gurner was another one. So, I mean, I think TJ Lindsey, though not a surprise, was probably the one I hated at this point losing the most because I felt like he could get in the rotation next year along the defensive front. But I just think there's no surprises. I think the numbers are going to be what everybody else's numbers are going to be at the end of the day. So I feel about it like I expected to feel about it at this point.
Taylor, what about you?
I'm in the same boat. I think none of them have been alarming to me, if that makes sense. Kind of going off what Daryl said, I feel like a lot of these guys, you know, might have a better chance to get meaningful reps at a different school. And obviously, you know, we want what's best for all of them. So if they're not going to get a big opportunity to play at Auburn, then I don't blame them for entering the portal, but there hasn't been a guy saying that he is planning on entering the portal that is alarming to me. And coming off the season that we had, that's very impressive in my eyes.
Yeah, I mean, I guess everybody thought there'd be this mass exodus. There was always the rumors, the talk, hey, if we continue to lose, it's going to be a mass exodus. You're going to see guys fleeing, jumping left and right. And I agree, for the most part, I think everybody is as expected. I think I like Dap. I had sort of an idea of some guys that were going to go in. I think the only one that really was the biggest surprise, and it makes sense, though, was Caleb Wooden. I think that was one that I wasn't really expecting because he only has 1 year left, and he had dropped all the way down to the third on the depth chart. But for whatever reason, his name wasn't popped up. And I know his brother played here. He's an Auburn guy. I don't know. That name was not on the list, but, again, it makes sense. That it makes sense that he went in. So I don't really, I think overall you're fine so far. Now what happens once it officially opens? There's still a few out there that we've been talked that we've not necessarily talked about on the show, but there's still a few names out there. But overall, I think Auburn's got to be, for the most part, happy as you can be with losing players, I guess, as far as guys declaring to go in. So with that being said, what do we expect for tomorrow? What do we expect? Like, how fast do we expect this thing to move? You saw a bunch of Alabama players announced today that they're going to go, they're planning to go into the portal. Like, what are your expectations starting tomorrow? Not only just for Auburn, but for everybody. Like, what are your overall thoughts about how things kick off, at midnight tonight?
Go ahead, Taylor. I'll let you take this one first.
I say bless the soul of the people that are having to keep up with this, because I cannot imagine having to keep the running list of the names of the guys that are entering. I don't know why, and this might be naive, but I'm feeling pretty optimistic about where Auburn stands in terms of players leaving. I feel like since the season is over, I don't know that many guys, this is just me thinking through the process of it. I feel like if there were guys that had 100% made up their mind, why wouldn't they have already, you know, publicized their intent? Yes, the portal isn't open yet, but you've seen, you know, a large number of people saying, you know, I intend to enter the transfer portal. So that makes me feel pretty good about it. I mean, I just think that tomorrow's going to be mass chaos in terms of the whole college football landscape. I think it's going to be chaos, but I feel good about where Auburn stands in terms of players leaving.
That's a great point. Dap, what do you think? I agree. I think that there's really no reason other than maybe if you just haven't had your final meetings yet, or you're waiting to see what Auburn may pursue once the portal opens. I kind of agree with Taylor. Like, it feels like if you're going to go, why aren't you already announcing your intentions?
Well, I think something Taylor said earlier in the open doesn't need to be glossed over. It's really important. When she mentioned doing this, or this happening in spite of Auburn going 5-7. So you normally you would expect a mass exodus. And guys, I think there's a correlation between going 5-7 and getting a top five recruiting class, which is unbelievable to me, especially when you regress from year one to year two with proof of concept. I think there's a connection and a correlation to that vision that's being sold to not only convince kids to come, but to keep kids there in the core. And to be able to do that, again, you know, if you can do it on the recruiting trail, I think you can do it retaining your younger players. Now, your older players may be a little bit worn out with the process, especially if they got here when Harsin was here. They're probably worn out with not winning, not being in. So that kind of wears on you after 3 or 4 years. But I think the freshman and the sophomore are your key core that you've got to keep. And I think he is doing that, which is amazing. Like Taylor said, when you go 5-7, and proof of concept of that is the recruiting class. I think they go hand in hand. You can connect the dots there. It's the same principles, I think, that apply.
Retention's big. I agree. We got a super chat, Daryl Dapprich fan. So you have a whole account dedicated to you, Daryl, and he thinks you should be a regular on Sunday.
What is my mom doing up this late jumping on the chat? Mom, go to bed. Got some Mom. Cooking to do in the next couple of weeks. Let's go.
No, we love that too. So I agree. I think retention is big. Retention has been big, keeping kids committed. Retention's been big as far as, like you said, the freshmen and the sophomores and the juniors. You haven't had a lot of misses. You haven't had a lot of guys come in and just leave immediately. So that core of those, I call it a half class, the core of those first, you know, that first one and a half classes looks like it's going to be, you know, still there. You're not losing a lot from those first one and a half classes. And then obviously you retain all the guys you had committed rolling into signing day. So with everything that's going to go on, obviously quarterback and offensive line, that's an easy answer. We talk about most important thing that Auburn has to have, and quarterback is now – even at a incredible more premium. And I don't think that they got caught, caught off guard with this Hank deal. So I feel like there's a plan in place. So beyond quarterback and offensive line, I'll ask you guys, what do you think the most important position Auburn needs to go after and go after hard and get locked in as soon as this thing kicks off tomorrow? What are you thinking?
Well, I changed. It flipped for me. I really felt like interior defensive line was going to be the most important position. But when Offord didn't sign with Auburn, I think you need a corner. Mm. Because, first of all, you need a third corner to either put it slot or move that corner outside and move someone else inside. We saw how that didn't really work out with Scott last year. So I think you need a guy that can come in and play right away. But not only that, guys, think about it. If Can Lee or Crawford goes down, you're relying on Champ Anthony and Tyler Scott, two guys that are coming off injuries. So yes. To me, not only do you need a starter, you better get some depth in case somebody does get hurt. You know, you're not going to play every snap, every game through an SEC season. So one, maybe even two in the portal from a cornerback standpoint. I really like the secondary, the safeties with Harris. And I think Laquan Robinson will get more snaps and Sylvester Smith, probably the reason why we saw Wooden jump. But I think you need one or two, a boundary and maybe a slot corner to come in to not only start and play right away, but we need some depth there with some guys with some injuries.
I got a question to ask you, Dap, based off that before we get Taylor's opinion. How hard of a sell is that? I mean, you have Jay Crawford returning. You have Kay and Lee returning, who's going to be a 3-year starter and hope, you know, more than likely a draft pick. Jay Crawford, like, how tall of a task is that? To like, what are you recruiting? You know, what kind of guy can you really expect to get when you got that? I mean, I feel like that's tough.
I think this is an example of a player you need to get that wants to play up a level. So you go get a group of a 5 kid that's really, really good, but says, you know what? I just want to play in the SEC. So if that means I only get on the field in nickel packages, or they move me to slot, or I'm just going to still get 30, 40 snaps a game. You're not going to get a starter in the SEC to come sit behind Crawford or play alongside Crawford and Lee. Again, it's how you sell it. You talk about different schemes defensively. If you go nickel or whatever, you'll be on the – but I think a group of 5 stud would be a perfect fit in this scenario.
Love it. Taylor, what are your thoughts? What's the most important position outside of the obvious, quarterback and offensive line?
I lean running back. I think Alvin Henderson obviously had a very, very impressive high school career, broke tens of records. But – you know, there is a little bit of time that it takes to transition from the high school game to the college game. And right now we do still have Maury Austin, Jeremiah Cobb. But if one of them were to go, I feel like we need a veteran. I feel like we need an experienced guy to come in, because as talented as Alvin is, you know, we don't have big numbers there. And I think that we need some more experience.
Sure, sure. And hey, we've talked about it, and this is mostly just theorizing, but what happens if one of those two older guys decide they don't want to share carries and they find a place where they can go be a feature back? Now running back is even more of a premium, and instead of taking one, you may have to be looking at taking two. So, yeah, definitely running back was on my list. Mine is tight end. Auburn is in a very – very delicate situation at tight end. You basically only return a healthy Rico Walker. Now, Brandon Frazier supposedly has another year, and I think he's made his intentions known that he would like to come back. So if that happens, that's huge for depth. But then you just have Hollis Davidson and Ryan G, true freshman, coming in, because you have Michael Riley announced that he's going to go into the portal. So what does Auburn do there? What type of tight end are you going to look at? There's a tight end that went into the portal, announced he was going to go into the portal. We talked about it on the barn. Bauer Sharp from Oklahoma. He's from Dothan, Alabama. Played quarterback in high school. Dothan High. Does Dothan High still exist? Did they combine some schools down there? I don't know. I can't remember which ones it was. But regardless.
Yeah.
Regardless, I think Auburn's going to have some interest there. He was Oklahoma's leading receiver. So I think that could be somebody definitely to watch. Tight end. I'm a little bit concerned about tight end. Is that warranted? Do you think that's warranted at all? That we need a tight end?
I think, well, that's what, when I was running through the roster, what it's going to look like next season as of now, you know, before the portal opens, obviously, that was another one where, you know, you've got two of your guys are going to be true freshmen, and you're not going to rely on that heavily because, again, the time it takes to kind of transition, different for every player, but you never really know what you're going to get. And then with Mike Riley leaving, I saw the same thing about Frazier coming back after medical redshirt. But, yeah, I think it's warranted for sure.
I think, too, you make a great point when you said what kind of tight end, Kyle, because I think we know what Brandon Frazier is. Good in the red zone, catches some passes, big body. I mean, I think Peyton Thorne used him. And, heck, Robbie Ashford used him downfield a couple times 2 years ago. But does Auburn have that tight end that can absolutely blow people off the line of scrimmage in a heavy package or a heavy set inside the goal line? We don't know what Rico Walker brings to the table with blocking skills. We know what Frazier has. I don't think Davidson and G are ready to go yet. So maybe you get a tight end, like you talked about, the Oklahoma kid that's a pass-catching threat, and then you get a guy that's a devastating blocker that may have hands of stone but is good in heavy packages at the three-yard line and can clear people out so you ain't got to go wildcat at the three. You can hand it off and go. That's because it's, you know, as you know, there's two different types of tight ends. And so I think Auburn needs both right now.
Ideally, you'd love to get both in one, but you may be right. You may have to go look. You may have to go get two that fit both of those different roles. But I just wonder about Brandon Frazier, and you know, he's kind of been sort of unfortunately injury prone. And this going into his last season, last one you got, he could be that guy. He could be that blocking guy, I think, but do you put all your weight on that? I'm not 100% sure. So, with all that being said, if you had to guess, who pops first? Doesn't have to be a particular person, position. I don't think you're going to have any commitments tomorrow. I could be wrong, but I feel like at least to give some semblance of not tampering, you need to at least let them try to visit campus first. But if you had to guess, I think Bauer Sharp has a visit schedule on the books. I think there's a linebacker from – what is it, Fresno State, maybe?
Fresno State, that's got
a visit on the books, supposedly. Who pops first? What position pops first?
I think tight end does. I just have a feeling from a – and, again, it's not because of who we mentioned with a particular name. I just think when you visit – when you start scheduling visits that early and there seems to be, you know, a connection there, I think tight end – my prediction would be tight end will be the first one that Auburn gets in the portal.
What do you think, Taylor?
I think after Hank announced that he was entering the portal today, you know, now Auburn is expected to take two quarterbacks from the portal. And there's been a lot of discussion around, you know, if the quarterback that we think will end up at Auburn is already in the portal, if they aren't. But I think now that they'll be bringing two guys in, that number two guy – not the splash pickup, but kind of the guy that's going to create depth, some competition. I think that the guy that's going to come in and compete might not necessarily be the starter. I think that they could get moving pretty quick on that because obviously what happened last year was a talking point this entire season because that it didn't work out how they would have liked.
I like that just because everybody's – I like that because you go ahead and get a quarterback on the board, number one. And then number two, reemphasizing what you just said, last year it was a name would pop up and we may pursue, we may not. It just seemed sort of like we weren't necessarily super organized. It seemed like we had maybe a plan A and a plan B, and both of them didn't seem to really work out, and then we just scrapped everything. And, you know, maybe we're interested in this guy, maybe we're not. I would like to see a lot of movement on the quarterback stuff very quickly, because I mean, it's just reality. You're probably going to have some guys that are paying attention on the roster. There's probably some guys that you've probably had to sell. And I'm talking about the wide receivers that you've had to sell that, hey, you're going to get this thing fixed. We got a good guy coming in and it's going to happen pretty quick. So I think there's probably some emphasis there. So I would be very interested to, I'd be very interested to see how that works out. So with that being said, talking about quarterbacks, do you think that let's go, since you're bringing in two now, your starter and your backup-ish type player, whatever you want to call that, are they both in the portal right now? Are they both announced that they're in the portal right now? Or is one in, one out? What are your thoughts there? Do you think the starter and the backup are going to come from some of the guys that are announced, or both? Or are we still waiting on some guys?
I think now that I agree with Taylor that Auburn's going to take two with the announcement of Hank Brown, I think you'll probably see the guy that's the younger guy that you bring in for depth in the room probably is already in the portal. But I think Auburn's splash portal selection, the guy that's going to come in and try to be the program changer for you and pick you up two or three more wins, I don't think he's been named. I don't think there's rumors out there yet, and I don't think he's in the portal yet. And that's important for the Auburn fan base who's got PTSD with this quarterback thing the last couple of years to understand that I'm not throwing out names. Let's just say somebody that entered, 2 days ago that lost his job as a quarterback and is in the portal, and Auburn, he commits to Auburn. People don't need to panic and go, oh yeah, I did it again. Look who they got. He couldn't even beat out so-and-so at this school. Just relax and understand that may just be a depth piece. And the guy that's going to be brought in to kind of, right the ship might not even be in the portal yet. So people need to understand that and relax about that aspect of it.
What do you think, Taylor?
That's what I agree. I think the number two guy might already be in the portal, but I feel like the guy that they're bringing in to be the day one starter is going to be a big name. Again, this is speculation, but I think what you were saying for the receivers and the fan base isn't, that doesn't really matter what they're thinking, but I just think for the peace of mind for everyone involved, I think it's going to be a name that everyone involved can trust a lot.
Sure.
Based off of what we've seen off the field. And I don't think that this the splash get is out there yet.
I don't either. I think that if some of the splash stuff doesn't work out, both of your guys could be in there right now. But I think, Jackson Arnold and Ashton Daniels.
Castellanos is the guy I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Now that you've mentioned some names, I'll say it. He's a guy to be a great backup.
Yeah. He's young too.
Young.
Yeah. I could see some of those guys possibly being your second tier guy. And then I agree. I think there's some big names out there. I was told there's four that were really
– Well, that's important. They're monitoring. I don't want to interrupt, but it's so important because I'll forget my point. But you need to emphasize that, Kyle, that there is a tier one and a tier two.
Yep.
That has been kind of some sourcing that Auburn is looking at. And you could get your backup from tier two, but your tier one better move the needle. And it's not just one. It's, like you said, four. They have a better plan of plan A, plan B, plan C with this happening so they don't get caught, holding the bag, so to speak.
Yep. Yep. So we'll see how that plays out. I wonder how fast that's going to work. I wonder how fast those guys would go in. I would say that if it's one of the four that have been talked about, once that person goes in, I think that it's going to move incredibly fast because I think they'd probably be going in maybe for Auburn. So with intentions to maybe go to Auburn. So we'll see how that works. I got a couple of questions in the chat that have popped up that I want to discuss because I hear these come up a lot. So Solomon Page, I think a lot of times when you start talking about quarterbacks, people automatically will go to Walker White. and what does this mean for Walker White? So here's he asked, what have you guys heard internally about Walker White? Dude looks like a first-round quarterback from the eye test. Was he that far behind the other quarterbacks? That you want to take a stab at that one?
Yeah, it's the physical attributes are absolutely there, and there's he measures the measurables are there with every quarterback in the room. I think it was perhaps the level of high school football that he played at and making the adjustment, like Taylor said with running backs having to do it. It's even more difficult with a quarterback with reads and tight windows and SEC corners and linebackers that are so much faster. I think that he is probably going to make the biggest leap from any player on this roster from January to when we see him at A-Day. I think it's going to be noticeably different with Walker White out there slinging it. I just think that Auburn is in a situation right now where they have to find three or four more wins. You can't afford to have the growing pains with a young quarterback or grow through with it. You can't. You cannot have the kind of year you had. So you have to get quick. You have to get better quickly. And Walker White is not that solution yet. But I would fully expect in 2026 for him and Deuce Knight to be battling it out, and for those two to be, you know, the two leading guys in the competition. But it's not a knock against Walker White. The tools are there. And again, watch the difference, the growth, and how much he improves from the end of this year until when spring ball starts and they go out there for A-Day.
Taylor, do you have anything to add to that?
I would say the same. And I think in terms of concern, because earlier this season when it was quarterback recruiting before Deuce had flipped or any of that, anytime quarterback conversation was brought up, it was, I think that the fan base thought that, you know, the Auburn media kind of forgot about him, but he was a scout team quarterback this year. So that no one was expecting him to get significant playing time. But something that has stuck out to me hearing the coaching staff and players on the roster when asked about him is the fact that, like, his effort. I believe it was Freeze that said, you know, I speak to him often. He's always wanting to learn. He's always wanting to grow. I think the effort's there. His commitment to the team is there. But he's one of those guys that he knows his role, and he's going to do that to the best of his ability. And this year, his role was the scout team quarterback. And, you know, he put his effort, he put his energy, he put his time into that. And I mean, I hope to see him succeed at Auburn. But again, he's a young guy, and we need experience right now.
Self-motivator. I think that's what Hugh said.
He's a self-motivator.
You don't have to worry about him. Hey, here's my thing. You got to have four quarterbacks. So just because you take a quarterback, that's not a knock on another quarterback. You got to have four. So you had to bring in Deuce because you didn't bring in Deuce necessarily to say because Walker White wasn't good enough. You're not bringing in these other two guys because Walker White's not good enough. You're bringing in two guys because you got to have four quarterbacks in the SEC. You just got to have dudes. Guys get hurt. Guys don't work out. You got to have multiple options. So I think that's more so. That's more so what you're seeing than an indictment on Walker White. But I think he's got the tools, he's working hard, and I think if he's patient, he's going to have a really good shot in 2026 to win that job. So Thomas Jones, one of our regulars with a super chat, and this is hilarious, talking about the transfer portal, will TJ Finley be in the retirement system at his next five schools? This is funny, and I just got to share this. So I was having a discussion. Now, maybe I get your guys' opinion on this. Dylan Gabriel, this is his
third.
This is maybe his, he's played five full seasons of college football. And there's an outside chance over the next two games, he could become the all-time leading passer. Okay. So, like, the question was, how do you handle records with a COVID year? You know, because nobody else can play five full seasons. Like, there won't be people prior and there won't be people after because there'll never be another COVID year. So how do you look at that? And then the same people I was talking about, TJ Finley is going into the portal and he has 2 years left. And they're like, man, you may have to update the record book again. He's got two more years. He's going to be playing for, you know, I guess 6 or 7 years. He's got a chance. He's got a chance to break that record. But I was kind of shocked that he still had 2 years left.
That was what I, when I read his little graphic that he posted and it said 2 years of eligibility remaining, I was like, this has got to be some sort of typo. How in the world does this man have 2 years of eligibility left? I feel like he's been playing college football for 10 years.
But I looked at it. He was a 2020 signee.
Yeah.
So that year didn't count. Then he played as a true freshman. He played as a sophomore. And then the last year of Harsin, remember he benched himself and redshirted. Right. And redshirted. So then, but still, I'm still trying to figure out how that
because,
math works.
But that's just because the COVID year is a free year.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's the year we lit him up. Remember, he played against Auburn. He started as a freshman in Auburn.
Absolutely.
And then he his second year was Harsin's first year when he came in against Georgia State. And then his third year, he refused to go in and redshirted himself. So he got an extra year. And so that's why. That's how he has that extra
year.
That's
then this year would have been his junior year, would it? Would it not have been? I don't know. He's got 2 years. Somehow he's got 2 years, and I don't know. I don't know how it is, but
it's amazing. Yeah.
So wow. He's played a lot of college.
There better be an asterisk next to that. That's not right. I mean, that's just not fair. You got a guy playing 6 years, and a guy that did it in three or four. You know, I mean, a lot of these records were done in 4 years. A lot of guys stayed 4 years back in the day. So I get that, but 6 years, there better be an asterisk next to that. I mean, that's just not right.
So let me ask you this. So you just brought that up. So Case Keenum is the all-time leading passer. Now, he had 4 years and then three or four games of a season where he got hurt and got a medical red shirt. So how do you handle those? How do you handle you know how you have a retirement system sometimes and it's like you take your best three out of your last 10 or something like that, and that's how you decide your retirement? We got to come up with something like this for records. I mean, it's just getting kind of absurd.
Well, shout out to Solomon Page, who said TJ Finley was a freshman when I graduated. So that was real nice. I appreciate that. That's a good comment. I got to give you props for that. Elite comment. But yeah, I mean, the medical red shirt's a little bit different, I guess, because you're bouncing back from an injury. You want to give that kid his props, his flowers for coming back. And if you come back and set a record, you know, after tearing an ACL or something like that, I think that's a little different scenario than just deciding, you know, which school has the best scooters. I don't know. I mean, that's
Taylor, do we need record book overhaul? Like, what are your thoughts there?
I cannot keep up. I mean, when we were going through, I was talking to you all the other day, when we were going through the roster, I don't even know how to calculate how many years of eligibility half these guys have left because, you know, you're a senior, but then you have a COVID. Like, thank God the COVID year after this year is done. But everything is just hard to keep up with. But no, I don't think that a six-year player's stats should be able to be compared to a guy that played 4 years. That's oranges to apples.
You should get your best four. That's how you do it.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be nice if they did that throughout your high and throughout your low.
Well, like Jeremiah Wright has another year, and I think he signed under Gus. How does that work? How does that work?
It gives me a headache. It gives me a headache every time that I try to look through it.
This is a good
question. He did sign under Gus. That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he did. This is a good question. Maybe we can talk about this a little bit. Stephen Bowden, how likely is Texas to keep both Quinn and Arch? And if not, who leaves? Do we have a shot? Daryl, you want to do that one?
Sure. I'll take it. I think it's very unlikely that both are there next year.
I'd say 0% chance.
0% chance. I think Arch will be handed the keys to the Lamborghini. And I think Quinn Ewers has a choice of either going somewhere else and trying to improve his draft status if it's not where it needs to be, you know, as far as a pick in the NFL, or he can go to the NFL. And therein lies the rub. I think the first part of that question is a foregone conclusion. I think Arch will be the quarterback next year and Quinn will be gone. Is Quinn going to be in the NFL and be satisfied getting picked in the fifth or sixth round? Or does he want to come back one more year like Kenny Pickett did? Some other guys really improved his draft stock and got into the first two rounds. That's the key. And do we have a shot? I would say yes. Auburn does have a shot.
Taylor, let me ask you this. If you're Quinn Ewers, okay, you're probably the fourth or fifth somewhere – you're in the top six if you were to go in the draft of this class. This could be the worst quarterback class that we've ever seen, I think, possibly in the NFL draft. Do you take your chances or hey, with all the deals that are thrown around, you could probably get you at least a $2 million deal somewhere. What do you do if you're Quinn Ewers and the Mannings are forcing you out of Texas? What do you do?
I mean, I think that there are pros and cons to both decisions. I think that having NIL now plays a role in that decision because you don't have to leave to make a bunch of money. But I think it would depend on what your options are in terms of transferring. And if you feel like you can, you know, reach a higher ceiling at that school, do you have enough confidence in yourself that going into the draft the next year, your stock will be better than it is now? But I mean, I think that NIL plays a big role. If you're wanting to get paid, you can get paid here. And do you want to go, you know, be a program changer somewhere else and increase your value, then why not? I mean, I would probably stay another year. College is fun.
Yeah, sure. This would be awesome, by the way, if this happened. Quinn Ewers back to Ohio State. If you remember, he signs with Ohio State, enrolls, and then transferred. I think he like transferred to Texas like after the summer or something like that.
Justin Fields went from Georgia to Ohio State.
I think you're right. That would be spectacular because Will Howard's gone at Ohio State after this year. So, I mean, they could roll with – they do have a boatload of quarterbacks. I mean, you got Julian Sayin that they took from Alabama. They have Aaron Nolan also over there. They got quarterback. They did have one just going another one of their depth pieces going to the portal, but that would be spectacular if he went to Ohio State.
I want to say something else too. You know, what happened last night in that SEC championship game also bodes well for Auburn. To me, Georgia is out of the quarterback race to get a portal quarterback with the way Stockton played. I mean, that people don't need to gloss over that was big. And, that Beck is gone and this kid comes in and wins the game for you. I don't think Georgia is going to be as active in the portal as I would have thought a week ago based upon what we saw. Now, you know, if Beck can't go in the playoff game, what happens? But I think Gunnar Stockton's performance last night made one less sweepstakes participant in the portal quarterback deal.
Yep. Taylor, any additional thoughts on that?
No, I was impressed when Beck went down. My first thought was, I was like, oh, good Lord, you know, what young guy's about to get thrown out here under the bright lights versus a talented Texas team. And he could play. He took that big hit and
I thought his knee blew up.
He's okay.
Knee didn't blow up.
I know. I was in a bar in Birmingham and the entire place gasped. It was, yeah. I mean, I'm glad he's okay, but yeah, he could play. He could play. I was impressed with him.
They never pulled him out of the game for concussion protocol either. He never went to the tent. He went out for one play because his helmet came off and that was the game winning play. He answered every question articulately with the reporter, which surprised me because it looked like he got his bell rung. I mean, I don't know how he was as clear headed and as articulate as he was answering those questions. But to me, I thought there was some sort of rule that something like that happens. You got to go over to the tent and get checked out. They never checked him out. The only thing I saw was Kirby go up to him after the game. They caught him on camera and him go, hey, are you okay? After they won the game, that's the first time he had he goes, you all right? I'm going, that's nice concussion protocol. I mean, that surprised me. And he looked pretty clear-headed when he answered the questions. Tough kid.
But he's got a headache today.
I bet he does. Yeah. I bet he does. Yeah.
They put back in Beck and he couldn't lift the other arm. So he handed it off with one hand. And I mean, everybody had to know it was going to be a run and they couldn't stop. Yeah. They couldn't stop it. He just ran right in. You know, that's another topic we could talk about. I know we're getting ready to wrap up, but real quick, last year, Florida State lost their starting quarterback right before they went into the playoff, and it cost them their playoff spot. I'm not saying Georgia should get obviously dropped out of the playoff. They won the SEC championship, but I mean, Beck's probably not playing in the playoff. So does that change? I don't know. How's that change? Should it have affected seeding or any talks whatsoever? Are they the same team? That's even though, you know, Stockton did look like he moved the offense a little bit better when he was in there, but
that's the key. Florida State's quarterback, their offense took a step back against Florida. They won. They hung on. They looked horrible doing it. Georgia looked better offensively when Stockton came in. So that's probably the mindset. The perception and the optics is they didn't take a step back. They actually beat and Texas ain't Florida last year. Florida was terrible. So, you know, to go in and beat one of the top three teams in the country, he got some cred for that, that the Florida State backup kid did not.
I do wonder what's going to start happening, which they have – I don't know. How many weeks do they have now? Is it two, three?
The 20th is when they start, yeah.
So 2 weeks, I guess, before they play again. I wonder if Carson's going to play because I saw – you know how there are those people on Twitter that are like the lip readers that'll pull clips from the broadcast and players on the sidelines talking? And there was one of Carson Beck after he got hurt, and he was still, you know, obviously on the sidelines. He was in his pads. He was talking to his teammate, and it looked like – one of the, I can't remember who he was talking to, but he asked, you know, or I don't know if he asked, are you okay? Whatever, how he was doing. And he was kind of like pointing to a place on his arm, kind of near his elbow. And he said, which like, I'm no lip reading expert, but it was very clear that he said, it's bad. Yeah. And after that, I was like, I really wonder, which I mean, it looked bad, but I wonder what's going to happen with them. If this young guy, you know, welcome to the team.
Welcome to the show.
Throw him into the playoffs.
Welcome to the show. So speaking of the show's about to begin. The fireworks are about to begin in about 3 hours and 20 minutes. The portal will be officially open, and we will see if Auburn's prepared. And they got to add some big pieces, and they have to do it quick because I feel like, to me, a lot of times once you see guys start going into the portal, if that's when you start recruiting them, you're probably a little bit too late. Tampering's not a real thing anymore. It's just not a real thing. And it's there. Stuff's happening way before these guys go in the portal. So we'll
see. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Really quick. Okay. When guys are saying, you know, so-and-so Hank Brown plans to enter the portal or intends to enter the portal, at that point, if you, I don't want to say declare, but if you make public your intentions, at that point, can coaches start contacting if you made it big, or do they have to wait until the portal opens?
They have to wait to talk to you.
But you can talk to an agent.
But they're right. The agents are talking.
Okay.
Hank has an agent.
So that you can reach out via the agent and it's not tampering.
That's how that's how this kid from Fresno and Jackson Bauer from Oklahoma already have quote unquote visits lined up because they have agents. So that's why tampering is just a thought. It doesn't exist. It doesn't really exist. But no, coaches can officially start talking to players at midnight. So they can have one-on-one conversations and that's going to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if Hugh's sitting there at midnight with his phone ready to roll. Hugh, Will Redmond, and co, all that crew ready to roll. So let's see what happens. Guys, thank y'all for jumping on. It's always a ton of fun. Dap, our first time on a podcast together.
Yes.
How is that possible? I don't know. But Taylor,
we were on one time when Auburn got the commitment from Walker White.
That's
your
right.
Car was in a ditch or something like that. You were holding your phone.
I ran off the road. Ran off the road. I was
true story.
I did pull over at least to do that. But no, a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's fun.
For sure. Taylor,
fun being with you guys.
Always great to have you on. And we'll be back every single day this week. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening. And drive home safely.